Last week we looked at running. He was running. If you need a title this morning, he's sleeping. He's sleeping. Jonah chapter 1, we're going to read the first 10 verses. Jonah chapter 1. Again, our theme is "Let your light so shine before men." That's been our theme this year, continue to be our theme. And Matthew 5:16. And Jonah's got the light, just as we have the light. And God wants Jonah to show that light to Nineveh, and he's running from that. Now he's sleeping on that. And just as we have the light for Cross County, St. Francis County, we ought to be given that light and showing that light. So notice with me Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one unto his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What country, what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you today, Lord, for your goodness, your grace. Lord, thank you for your presence here. And Lord, help us this morning. Lord, we need you. Lord, I need you. I need your unction. And Lord, I do ask you, Lord, to convict us this morning. Lord, help us, Lord, to be changed this morning. Lord, help us to grow closer to you this morning. Lord, help us to be willing to do whatever you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Sleeping. Jonah run from the presence of the Lord. But as we looked at last week, God loved Jonah so much, he wouldn't allow him to leave his presence. If we have his presence, nothing is impossible. But if we don't have his presence, nothing is worth having. And something else to think about, Jonah ran from God, David ran to God. And so which one are we going to be? Are we going to run to God when troubles hit, or are we going to run away from God? Many of y'all remember my lamp when we started this year. And was looking at the light, and that's what, again, we're going to continue to be looking at. God, the light that God, when you're saved, you're given the light of Christ. That's our Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine. So when Jonah, when God told Jonah to go, what did Jonah do? He ran. He covered up some of that light, and he went down in that ship and started sleeping, and he got further and further away. Now, there's still some light coming out because these guys know that he should be doing better than he's doing, but he's not nearly shining the light that he should be, is he? And when we run from God and we don't listen to God, we still have the light. You're never, once you're saved, you'll always be saved. As the old preacher said, his name slipped my mind, but you don't unhatch a chicken. You remember who said that, Brother Gabe? His mind, it was there and then it was gone. It was an old preacher, been gone a long time ago, but he said, you don't unhatch a chicken. Once you're saved, you're saved. Okay? Once you're a child of His, you will always be a child of His. So we have the light. It's not our light, it's His light. But as I disobey, as I run from His presence, that light gets dim. It's not shining like it should be shining. That's where we find Jonah here. He has the light, but he's not given the light because of his disobedience, because where he is running from God, he is covering up that light. First thing I want you to see here this morning is the conduct of the mariners. the conduct of the mariners. Notice with me in verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid. Now think about that. The mariners were afraid. Now, before we go into that, let me say this. And this group of people did not ask to be in this storm. These mariners did not ask to be here. They did not ask to be brought in Jonah's disobedience. A lot of times storms will affect other people, and sometimes in a worse way that you caused. These people didn't get up this morning. They didn't do anything wrong. They just got up thinking they're just going to go out on a normal voyage and do what they're paid to do. And so they had no idea that God was going to bring this storm. And this storm has really nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with Jonah. And Christian, listen to me. A lot of times God will bring a storm in your life and it'll affect a lot of people around you that have nothing to do with it. And it will affect them. These people are scared for their lives. These people, they think the ship is going to be broken. They're scared to death. And all of that because of Jonah. And that can happen in your life, in my life as well. And now think about this. These mariners, again, were not guilty. Jonah was guilty. But they're paying for his disobedience. Sometimes we think we sin in a vacuum. We sin on an island. No such thing. When you do things wrong, you don't only affect you, but you affect the ones around you. When David sinned with Bathsheba, did that stop? Did the repercussions and the fruit of that sin stop? No. Tamar, his own daughter, was raped by her own half-brother. Absalom then killed. You have all the Absalom then tries to take over the kingdom, and you have perversion and wrong continually in David's life. What does it go back to? David's sin. You don't sin in a vacuum. You don't do these things that only, well, that just affects me. That's hogwash. When you sin, when you do wrong, it affects a whole lot of more people around you, and especially your family. Now notice this with the conduct of the mariners. Notice the first thing I want you to see here is they're willing to admit fear. Now think about this. These are not just good day mariners. These are not just some fair weather seamen. These are mariners in that day. These are hardened seamen. These are some men that have been out in some storms. These are some men that that are rough and tough and ain't scared of nothing. They're mariners. They do this for a living. They're not just some weak men and just got up one day and say, hey, I'm just going to go be on this boat. No, they have done this for years and years and years. But notice he says there in verse number 5, then the mariners were afraid. Does it take, especially us men here this morning, does it take a little bit to admit that we're scared? These men are admitting that they are afraid. They're scared. Now, again, they're accustomed to these storms, but this storm has caused them to have some fear. There have been, there will be some major storms in our country that have caused the lost, the unsaved, to be fearful. Do you remember, some of you remember 9/11? You couldn't hold the people in the churches. People were scared. They didn't know what was coming. Now, that didn't last long, a couple months, and the lost went their way and didn't get saved, and they evacuated the churches. But I just want to say that the lost have fear. They're scared. When you're around somebody, have you ever been around somebody that's scared? They don't act rational. They will do some crazy things because that fear is controlling them. They will talk wrong, they will act wrong, they will react wrong, and we look at the world sometimes and an unsaved person, and we get maybe aggravated at their speech and their foul language and how they act to stuff. But let me tell you something, they're only acting what they are supposed to because they're unsaved. What's inside of them? They're fearful. Christian, listen to me. If you're saved and you know the blood's been applied and you know if you died right now with a heart attack or an aneurysm to your brain, you know where you would be. You know that? You don't have fear. Not to a lost person, not to a person that thinks, man, if I lay my pillow on my bed tonight and I go out into eternity, I don't know where I'm going. They might put on a good show and say, well, I'm an atheist, or I'm this, or I don't believe in that. They might give you some excuse, but I promise you, deep down in their heart, they are scared to death. You ever heard the term, there's no atheist in a foxhole? You know there's something. You might not have much knowledge, you might not, but you know you've got some fear, because you know that these men are fearful, not maybe necessary. They're scared to death. And the world today, the unsaved out there that don't know the glories of salvation, know that the blood's been applied, they've got some fear. Let me do say this, Christian, and I know sometimes it can be a struggle, but a Christian should never speak like an unchristian. Because you don't have the fear. I know we give ourselves excuses to say, well, I just have it in my background, and I have that. I understand sometimes habits are hard to break. But you get along with God, and you seek God, and God will help you. But a Christian should never, those words should never come out of a Christian's mouth. Why? Because you have no fear. You don't have that. You know where you're going. You know that Christ is your Savior. But the world out there is fearful. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil out there, what is it? He's blinded their minds, blinded their eyes. They can't see. And he wants them to be in fear. He wants them to be scared to death. Why? Because that person that's fearful acts really strange. Is going to do some really strange things. You might be witness to somebody that's not saved, and you're trying to, and they're not acting right, and they're not accepting. They've got fear in their hearts. They're scared to death. They admitted their fear. Not only the conduct of these mariners, they were willing to admit fear, they were willing to pray. Go back with me, verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Now, you notice the little G there. We're not talking about God Jehovah. We're talking about their little God. Yeah. Now, they don't believe right, but notice they still have enough about them to understand, hey, I got to call out to somebody. I need help here. They cried every man unto his God. What are they doing? They're praying. They might be lost as a goose, but they're praying. They're seeking, again, they're ignorance, but they're seeking. They don't believe right, but they're praying. The world's not right. But have you ever noticed this in maybe your workforce or maybe your family, and you've got some people that are unsaved, and they go through a tragedy? They're totally okay with you praying for them. They might even come to you. You might even have reached out to them, invited them to church, and they've rejected that, and they've snubbed you at some family gatherings or at the workforce. But when they come through a valley or tragedy, hey, would you pray for me? They're willing to admit that. The world understands that there's power in prayer. The world understands that what's the importance of praying. The real tragedy here is Jonah knows how to pray. Jonah knows the one and true God to pray with. He knows the big G. He knows the true God. And he's down in that boat sleeping. Willing to pray. There are many today that know the one true God just as you and I know. We're blood-washed children of God, but we're sleeping. We're not praying for the lost. We're not praying for the ones that are out. We're not praying. We're sleeping. Notice also, not only are they willing to admit the fear, willing to admit to pray, notice these mariners are always also willing to admit drastic decisions. Go back with me in verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. Cast forth the wares. This wares could include anything from what they're taking from port to port. It could also include their tackle. This could include many things, but they're willing to do whatever it takes and cast out whatever they have in that ship to lighten the ship to possibly make it to where they're going. Anything that would be cumbersome to them. Christian, it's sad to say that we won't even do that. How many times have you had the Holy Spirit, would it be in a preaching service? Whether it be at home reading your Bible and Holy Spirit convicts you and says, hey, get that out. You're in a storm, you're going through a hard time, and God's speaking to you and God's ministering to you, but you're struggling and you're knee deep in this storm, and man, it's on you hard. And God says, hey, I'm trying to show you some things here, and if you'd get that out and cast that out and cast that out, that's what I want. I'm trying to help you clean up your life. And you know what we'll do? Nope, ain't doing it. Nope. I like it too much. You know the biggest problem with us as Christian and sin? We enjoy it too much. Bible even says there's pleasure in sin for a season. You can't deny that the pleasure's in sin. There is. Our flesh loves sin. We love it. And our problem is we love it so much. And when God says, hey, get rid of that, now we're just hanging on so tight. I'm like, no, I'm not going to. But these mariners are willing to cast forth anything to make their load lighter. You know what many of us Christians walk around with so many burdens, so much sin, so much filth in our mind. We're barely even making it through life. Why? Because we're not willing to cast this stuff forth. Many of y'all here today are not even paying attention. Well, that's awful mean, preacher. That's just telling you the truth. Telling you the truth. I love you. Love every person in here. But we're so distracted. God's wanting to speak to you today, but we get so distracted by this and looking over here and distracted over here. And the devil enjoys that. The devil wants that. If he can keep you distracted where you're not listening and paying, man, he is like shouting ground. Because you ain't getting nothing. Well, I'm tired. I'm this. I'm that. Well, take a nap. That's usually what we do on Sunday mornings, take a nap. Well, you're a mean preacher. No, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to wake you up this morning to understand that we will go through life having so much stuff and so much filth, and we've been through filth and all this week. And God says, hey, throw that out. Hey, get rid of that. Hey, make that change and make that change. And we hang on to it and say, nope, ain't doing it. Well, if I follow that, somebody's going to think that I'm following that person or doing that. And God says, hey, don't worry about anybody else. If I ask you to get that out of your life, get it out of your life. Cast it forth. Christian, we are so burdened down by so many things, and God wants us to get rid of it and God to be free of these things. And you know what we tell God? No way. Ain't doing it. Not going to do it. The shows you watch on TV, the videos you watch on your phone, the music that you listen to. Should I go on? Let me ask you this. You might say, well, it's none of your business. Well, here's the job of a preacher. The preacher is to herald the truth. Proclaim truth. I'm not going to sit here and say that I am perfect, because you know I'm not. We all need to get better about making sure that we're bringing in good things into our life and not bad things. So let me ask you a question. Does that movie, that TV show, that video, that music you listen to, does it bring you closer to God? That sting a little bit? When you get done listening to that rock and roll and that rap and that country music, and he lost his dog and ran off with his girlfriend and did all these crazy things, and you're hip-hopping and all this stuff, and you get done with that song, man, me and God, we right there. Not even close. Prove this. You might say, I think you're just being mean, preacher. I'm not trying to be mean. I hope you know my heart. But that world is full of sin and wickedness out there. And we have compromised so much that we've allowed it in our heart and our life. And then we struggle through life. And then we beg God, why am I having to do this? And God says, I tried to get you to get rid of it. I tried to get you to clean up your life, and you wouldn't do it. I brought you some valleys. I brought you some storms to try to get you to cast forth this stuff. And you refused, and you were hard-headed. And now you're struggling. Tried to tell you. Prove this. Stop listening to the country music. Stop listening to the rock and roll and rap and oldies. Stop watching that perverted show that promulgates all the sexual immorality and wicked living. Stop for a week. You should stop longer than that, but stop for a week and see how much better you'll be. Your whole outlook will be different. Your whole attitude will be different. Everything will be different. Make sure that you're watching positive things and godly things. And you might say, well, there are some good shows on the television. If you've got some internet services, there are some Christian movies that you can find that are not full of the vile wickedness. There are some good God-honoring music that you can listen to. We don't have to fill our minds with all the wicked, vile things of the world. We can clean that up and cast that forth. They're willing to make some drastic decisions. Number two, not only the mariners, the conduct of the mariners, notice the conduct of the shipmaster. Notice with me in verse number 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. What meanest thou, O sleeper?" Now, do you think that the storm's raging, you know the story? These mariners are scared, they're scared to death, they don't know what to do, and now the shipmaster's coming and he's finding Jonah. Do you think he come to Jonah and said, hey, honey, get up. You need to wake up. We got a storm raging. Or did he say, "Arise, what are you doing, oh sleeper?" He wasn't soft. He come in there a yelling and a hollering at Jonah. And notice that terminology again in verse number 6. He says, so the shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, oh sleeper? Arise." Man, what are you doing here? Get up. We're fighting for our lives out here and you're in here sleeping. Notice this, the rebuke for sleeping. "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" This shipmaster is calling out Jonah's complacency. They're all about to die, and Jonah's sleeping. Christian, they're all about to die, and we're sleeping. I'm saying this with me included. What's the one thing that's wrong with Antioch Baptist Church? We're sleeping. All of us. Me as your pastor, all of us. We're sleeping. It's so easy to get lulled into the state of complacency and forget that there's a world out there that's dying. We're sleeping. And the shipmaster now is coming to Jonah and saying, "Arise, O sleeper, what are you doing?" Isn't it amazing sometimes how the world will call us out? The world even knows how we should be. The world even knows how we should act. The world even knows how we should be faithful. The world knows what a Christian should be. And when we don't act like, you know what sometimes the world will do? "Arise, O sleeper." They'll call us out. He's rebuked for sleeping. When's the last time you had a burden for someone that wasn't saved? I'm not talking about you had a thought about somebody. I'm not talking about, I'm sure everybody in here has somebody that you know is not saved. Family member, friend, somebody at work, you know, according to their you know is not saved. I'm not talking about just the knowledge and the relationship to having somebody that's not saved. I'm talking about, when's the last time you had a burden? You might say, "What do you mean by burden?" I'm talking about it's on your mind all the time. Every time you go to the Lord in prayer, you're begging God, "God, save them." Sometimes you can't eat. Sometimes you can't sleep. It wakes you up at night. It's on your mind all the time. God, please save them. God, I know they could go out into eternity at any moment. And God, I'm broken about their eternal condition. And God, I don't want them to go to hell. And God, would you save them? God, would you send somebody? A burden. When's the last time you had a burden for somebody that's lost? When's the last time you prayed for somebody that's lost? And again, I'm not talking about, "God, would you save Uncle Bill?" I'm talking about getting alone at night in your prayer closet, somewhere alone, and pouring out your heart and begging God, "God, save him. God, if you got to bring them through a hard time, God, if you got to give some valleys, God, if you got to bring them a storm, God, do what you got to do, but God, please save them." When's the last time? Big problem with Antioch is we're sleeping. Rebuke for sleeping. Notice also the rebuke for not praying. Notice with me in verse number 5-6 again. So the shipmaster came to him and said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God." Isn't it amazing that Jonah had to be told to pray? Not only did he have to come and wake him up and wake him out and rebuke him for his complacency, now he's got to rebuke him because he's not praying. Christian, that should be us all the time. Brother Gabe preached a great message Wednesday night on the first of his series. We need to be praying. That should just be something that comes natural to a Christian, is prayer. Many times, you know what the world will do? They'll rebuke us because we're not praying. Let me ask you this, are we the last to pray? At work? Family gatherings? Hanging out with friends? Are we the last to pray? Are we the last to seek God? Something major happens, some problem comes up, some issue, somebody goes to the hospital. Are we the last, as the Christian of the group, to pray? Someone is... Something is going on at work, some issue, some problem. Somebody at your work, some co-worker is going through some problem in their life. Can they depend on you to come to you and pray? I know there's many excuses for our workforce, and I also understand that I am not in the workforce, and I understand there's a battle there. But there's a lot of bluffing that goes on. Well, I can't do that. They told me I can't do that. And sometimes because fear of our job, we will allow that bluffing to happen. And I'm not saying you go to God and you make sure God wants you to do this, but I feel like sometimes us as Christians, we get bluffed out, and we love getting that told to us, because you know what? That gives us an excuse. I don't have to. I don't have to share Christ. I don't have to pray. I don't have to be a Christian at work, because they told me I can't. So I can't try. I can't risk my job. God knows that. So I'm just going to be over here minding my own business, not saying a word. Amen or oh me. We watched the women's softball, and watched Tennessee till they lost. Right, Miss Elizabeth, it was tough. But after the game, you know what they did? The coach from Tennessee and the coach from, I can't remember the other team we lost to, but anyway. No, it wasn't Arkansas. They gathered around in a circle on television. Tennessee coaches and this other coaches gathered around the circle. You know what they did? They prayed. Isn't that amazing? That's pretty amazing, I think. Now, I don't know but they prayed. Oh, I can't pray. I can't do that. I can't share my faith. They're going to get mad at me. They're going to threaten my job. I wonder if you took that little carpet, rolled that little carpet out, got down on your knees and started doing all this crazy stuff, you think they'd kick you out? No. You know what? Too many of us Christians got bluffed out of sharing our faith. Acts 5:28 through 29, saying, "Did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name?" The higher ups, the authority of the day, come to Peter and said, "Didn't we not tell you? Don't be preaching about Jesus. Don't be teaching about Him. We done told you. Stop." If you continue reading, "And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Notice Peter's response in verse 29. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." Oh, Pastor, they told me I can't pray. I can't do that. And I think the real reason we have done that, because it lets us off the hook. We use it for an excuse. Man, I've been really good this morning on meddling, hadn't I? Got down. And third thing I want you to see is the conduct of Jonah, and we'll be done. Notice verse number 6 with me. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that we think that he will think upon us that we perish not." Jonah's sleeping. He's so preoccupied with his desire to run from the presence of the Lord that he is out of touch with others and the things around him. God told him, "Go to Nineveh. I want you to preach to that great city." Jonah got so preoccupied by running from God, he saw the first ship, he jumped on it, he went down the sides of the ship, he's fast asleep. He's not thinking about anybody else, he's not thinking about any other problems, he's not looking out for any to help anybody else, he's only looking at Jonah. He's so preoccupied with his issues, with his fear, with his problems. He's not looking about anybody else around him. Are we guilty of the same? Are we sleeping while others are perishing? Are we sleeping on our convictions? There was a time when a Christian meant something. Stay with me. In my time gone, it's getting close, and I still got a little bit, so hang with me. There was a time that a Christian meant something. Not so anymore. You might have a Christian that might go out and drink with you. Today's day. Christian don't mean anything anymore. Are you with me? Stay with me. A lot of times we throw that terminology around just pretty easily. Well, I'm a Christian. I'll have a cold one every now and then. I might have me a fancy drink at the restaurant. Don't hurt nobody. Used to. That never happened. You know what we've done? We've slipped on our convictions. Well, we don't hold a value anymore. We don't hold a standard anymore. We've allowed the world to infiltrate us so much. And I think it's because of this lie. Well, you've got to make sure that the lost feel welcomed. And you've got to make sure that you don't judge them. Brother Randall, am I judging you because I have a suit on and you don't? No. Is Brother Randall wrong for not wearing a suit? No. This idea of having a suit. Why do I have a suit on? Why do I have this stupid thing I hate? I hate these things. I've often said, whoever created the tie, if he is in heaven, oh, we're going to have a talk. What is the standard, though? You look at sports broadcasters. Sports. Talking about basketball. Basketball. What are they going to have on? Suit. You go in onto a house floor of Arkansas's house floor, Tennessee's house floor, and you know what you've got to have on? A suit. Isn't it amazing? Why? That's the standard. Well, why do I preach in a suit? Because this is a high office. I believe I would degrade the office of a pastor if I got up here in some shorts and flip-flops. You might say, well, you just put too much into your dress, and if we want to show up in our pajamas and all this, that would be okay. I think we've allowed that world's influence to infiltrate our mind. Now, if somebody comes in here and they're wearing the best they have and they're wearing some clothes that maybe that we would look down on, hey, they're welcome at Antioch. Nobody I don't police anybody. I hope you don't police anybody. Everybody's welcome. But for the Christian that's growing in Christ and wants to get, we should start raising our standard and start living a certain way. Not that I'm judging people, not that I'm looking down my nose at people, but to understand it as a Christian, that should mean something. And not where I've got my nose in the air and I'm just thinking I'm all this and a box of chocolate, but that I love people as Christ loved people. Christians should mean something. We've slept on our convictions. We're sleeping on the truth. This idea that your truth and my truth are different. No, they're not. There's one truth. That's the Word of God. Don't allow the world to get in your mind and thinking, well, that was their truth. And they believe that. No, there's one truth. We're sleeping on our faith. We're not sharing our faith. We're sleeping on our character. You know, it used to be that a man's word meant something. It used to be that when somebody promised you something, they made true on it. It used to be that we would instill into our children character. A desire to do right, even though everybody else is doing wrong. Ingrain a work ethic, a character, an ability to treat everybody the same, a character about you. We're sleeping on it. We're not doing it as adults. We're not instilling it into our children. You might say, well, how do you, man, look at the average child out there. They think they are old things. They think you're supposed to just give them everything. They have such an entitlement mentality. Where does that come from? Being spoil rotten, not getting the paddle on the backside where God put those two things to paddle. God says, spoil the rod, spare the child. We're sleeping on our character. We're sleeping on our family. We're sleeping on our marriages. We're sleeping on our children. We're sleeping on our testimony. We're sleeping. Not only we see there his consciousness was rebuked here with the conduct of Jonah, but also his prayerlessness. He's sleeping, he's not praying. The shipmaster comes and rebukes him for not praying. Again, Brother Gabe brought a great message the other night on Wednesday, but let me ask you, after you heard that message on Wednesday, have you changed some things and are praying more? I hope you are. But a lot of times, you know what happens? We hear a message, it goes in one ear and out the other. We never apply the truths, we never apply the things. But you know what we all should be doing? We all should be praying more. God's not your spare tire. God's not your genie in the bottle. God's not rub it on and give me three wishes and you got to fulfill these three wishes. God's not your genie. God is Jehovah God. We sometimes question why, and we understand that, and sometimes the questions of why will never be answered until we get home. We understand that. But I thought as I was preparing this message, I was thinking, and Lord brought this to my mind, I wonder sometimes that we don't have even some insight in some things is because we're not close to Him. And let me explain this. From the outside looking in, you might do something that's crazy. Wacko. Like, why in the world did you do that? I mean, that's just ignorant. But if I know somebody real close, and from the outside looking in, what they did, man, that's why'd you do that? But I know this person, I have some insight. I have some understanding why he did it. I wonder sometimes if we don't have some insight of what God's doing is because we don't know God in a relationship. Salvation, but sometimes, I know I have to explain this a lot. Sometimes we get saved and we're going to heaven, but that relationship kind of just hangs up there. Do you know what you're supposed to be doing after salvation? You're supposed to be growing closer to Him, getting to know Him more and more and more. Many times I wonder if I wouldn't have been included and kind of had some, not maybe I know all the answers and all the reasons why, but I at least have some insight in what He's doing if I was closer to Him. His powerlessness. Look there with me in verse number 5 and 6. We read verse number 5, it says, but then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God, cast forth the wares that were in the ship and the sea to lighten them. But Jonah was gone out down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Rise, call upon thy God, and so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Not only is he rebuked for his prayerlessness, and first thing there was his unconscious consciousness. He was sleeping. His prayerlessness, and then last thing I want you to see, and I'm done, his powerlessness. Notice that phrase there in verse number 6, that last phrase you find. Shipmaster's talking to him. He said, call upon thy God. And then that last phrase, if so be that God, big G, will think upon us that we perish not. Notice when the shipmaster is referring to the other gods, he's talking at little g, and he's referring to Jonah's God, he's talking, saying the big G. And also notice, he says, if so be that God, singular. And notice when he goes up there and they're talking about their mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God. You see the plural there, every man unto his God. You see all these God, little g gods. But when he's talking down here to Jonah, he's talking about a singular, not plural, if so be that God. The shipmaster expects Jonah to have power with his God. Again, I've already kind of meddled a little bit in our life, but I'm going to meddle some more. We don't know what this shipmaster believes, but we do know what trouble, when trouble hits, where'd he go? He went to Jonah. Jonah has a lot of the light covered up, but there's still some light shining. That shipmaster sees enough in Jonah to know he didn't just ignore him and leave him down there. He knows enough to come to him and said, hey, you need to call on your God, big G. There's something about Jonah that he still sees some light coming out. You know what he expects out of Jonah? That there should be some power. This should be every one of us as Christians. That coworker at work, she's going through a nasty divorce. They've just lost a child. Maybe their finances are crumbling. And you know what they expect out of you? Some power with God. And here's the problem that's going to be in your life. They're either going to come to you expecting it, and you're going to be able to get along with God and pray, get them on their knees and pray with them and beg God, and God's going to do some mighty work, or you're going to be sleeping. The world knows what a Christian should be, sometimes more than a Christian is. They know that we should be praying. They know we should have power with our God. They know these things. And you know what most of us Christians are doing? We're on the side of a ship somewhere, asleep. Clueless. Because we've just allowed complacency to take over. Kicked it out of gear and just coasting through life. We should be waked up, prayed up, so that we will be powered up with God. Our testimony should not be with the ones around us that that when they come for us for advice or they come for us for godly help and prayer, that they know that we have that with God. So let me ask you in closing. I know my time is gone. Can they do that? Are you the coworker? Are you the family member? Are you the friend that you're known that they can come to? You're prayed up. They can come to you about anything and share with you, and they have confidence in you to know they'll pray for me. Amen. Are you that one that they will come to you? They're struggling through life and they're going through the storm. And they're needing God to do something in their life. And they're struggling so much. And they come to you because you have power with God. Are you that person? Christian, I say it again. Church, Antioch, I say it again. Our biggest problem is we're sleeping. We're sleeping. This world around us is going to hell. And we're on the side of a ship, fast asleep. Stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Arise, O sleeper. Arise.